So tell me about the trail days.
Well, we get typically between 40 and 60 people out, and we take sections of a trail and say, okay, these are the ones that really need work, and this is what we're going to do. So we'll talk with the city and go through it. They provide a lot of the materials, and then we provide all the labor. And then we have other places that will donate lunches and things like that. So
you get quite a bit of work done then?
Oh, a tremendous amount. It's absolutely amazing how much work you can get done in one day. Like sometimes we'll finish early, and so you'll take on another section. And it's just, it's absolutely remarkable. I mean, the people are tireless. And they range in age from, I think the youngest we had was around 14 or 15, the oldest being about 76 or 77.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How many trail days a year would you have?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
So tell me about how they are organized, because, as you say, the union is involved, and, of course, arrangements have to be made with the parks as well.
Yeah. Well, originally, when we were building on our own, we built, they call them raised platforms. And when we went around the city, I believe it was Dave Elwell at the time, he came around and they thought they were a bit too risky, a bit too high, and things like that. So they ended up tearing them out, and some of their best work was torn out. But then we kind of came to an agreement that this is the way we'll build, and this is what we'll do. And for any of the stunts, there's an A trail and a B trail, so you can either do the stunt or you can go off and it's much easier. And so they kind of accepted that as we went on.
So you actually helped with the trail design work then?
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's one trail that we pretty much designed and built on our own.
Oh, which one is that?
I can't recall what the name of it is, but it used to be just a straight downhill run, and Sidewinder is called. And then we kind of wound it through, and it's just a great trail. It's so much fun to ride.
And it went straight down at one time.
It did. It was just a downhill course, just fast and with all kinds of jumps and stuff like that. But when our club builds so that all users can use it, and that was just for very advanced riders.
Okay. So if you didn't want to go straight down, you could do the...
Yeah, well, the straight down one is pretty much gone. We kind of snaked our way through it, became a much more fun trail, and the ride lasted a lot longer. I mean, for, you know, 25-minute pedal up, you get at least 10 or 15 minutes going down instead of just 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
When would you have built that trail?
That would have been about 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
And was that sanctioned by the parks?
Yes, it was. They actually, they're the ones who suggested it.
Oh.
And wanted our input on it, yeah.
Because they were a bit concerned about the straight down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, that straight, there is a trail that goes straight down. It follows, is it a utility corridor?
I
think Henry DeYoung was telling me.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called. He wondered if it was maybe an old skid road as well.
Yeah, we call it the Water Tower Road.
Okay. He said that was his least favorite trail.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering how the work that you do here at the school board links with the work that you do with the Burnaby Mountain Bike Association.
Well, we've now moved into doing, at Kitchener Elementary every year, we do a bike day there. So that's been the last 3 years. So it's kind of morphed into that. It's an afternoon with the kids. It's a lot of fun, and it's very rewarding when you finish the day and they actually learn a bit of safety and
which is important.
It is, yeah. And also contacts with the city. As a trustee, I have contacts with counselors and the parks board, so they realize you're not just some nutcase that they, as they originally thought we were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your image was...
Well, they considered us as so extreme.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll just pause it. Okay. Could you tell me a bit more about your relationship, the association with the City of Burnaby's Parks and Recreation Department? How does that work?
I think it works fairly well in that it really matured over a period of time. There was a lot of distrust, I think, on both sides initially.
Would some of that have to do with the... there was a program element in the management plan, the 1999 management plan, a mountain bike conditional review.
Yeah.
That must have been a concern, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Were you actually concerned that that you would have been kicked off the mountain? Or?
I thought they might try that, but like part of what our goal was to show them that in terms of extreme riding, the North Shore is a place to go with. I mean, it's a world destination for extreme riders. And this is more of an intermediate beginner mountain. And so that's what we were pushing. We're trying to keep the extreme element out of here. And they really kind of enjoyed our stance on that. So,
does extreme riding have more impact on the trails then?
Not really.
Or on the landscape?
But in terms of risk management and liability, it's a lot more. I mean, you go over to the shore and there's some of the stunts here, you know, 15, 20 feet in the air on little skinny boards, and there's big jumps. And.
Uh-huh. Was there an actual review then, or how did that work?
I don't think an actual review actually happened. But I know that they were going to do it, and there was real concerns from our part, and we just said, you're not going to be able to ban it. Regardless of what you do, people are going to continue to ride, so it's better to get out in front, be able to manage it.
Oh, yes, that was a better strategy on their part. And they must have realized that was
the case. Yeah, I think so. And Henry's been very good.
Yes. Yes, he was wonderful to talk to. So what role does the association play in educating and monitoring the behavior of its members on the trails?
Well, the website used to be a lot more active, not so much anymore. But a lot of discussion goes back and forth on the NSMBA website. And so there'll be some comments on our, and we kind of monitor that. When comments are made for Burning Mountain, we get on there and kind of correct what the thinking is. And,
okay.
And then on days like when it's really raining like this, we try and discourage people from riding, because that's when you do the most damage on the trails.
I did look at your website, and there was quite a bit of discussion on freelance trail maintenance and improvements. And I did notice that the association was warning against unsanctioned trail work. But it does seem... bikers carrying little fold-up saws does seem like a good idea after a windstorm.
Yeah, but the city has been very good in terms of responding to that and going out and cutting the trees or blocking trails.
But should mountain bikers have a little saw in case there's a...
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, okay.
I mean, when we go skiing, we carry saws and things like that when we're in the backcountry, but it's more of a necessity.
Yeah. So how does the association balance the desires of its members with respect for park regulations?
We respect the park regulations and try and transmit that to our members.
Okay, through the website and
on trails and that.
Yeah.
And we have some of the signs in some of the kiosks as well.
Oh, okay. That signs that the association creates?
Yeah.
I was speaking about weather and... it's snowing up on Burnaby Mountain right now. Can you tell me about a weather-related event that caused memorable damage to the trails? Yeah, good story.
Well, the windstorm we had, I guess, a few years ago, there was just trees down everywhere.
Oh, was that when Stanley Park was so badly damaged?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we got out with our chainsaws and did a number of things just to get the trails open and running, and there is one, it's on Mel's, and we cut it, we thought it was wide enough, but we were going through on our bikes, and there's a little jump to go down, and as I was in the air, I realized that we hadn't cut the tree far enough, so my handlebars hit it, and then over I went, huge crash. So then we got back and cut it further back.
So was Parks right there then cutting down the trees?
Yeah, and not cutting trees down, but more cutting them off the trails, like they're falling across the trails.
Right. What about flooding? Apparently, wasn't it not too long ago, that there was a runoff episode that damaged trails?
Something that we're really proud of is not many of the trails were damaged because of the way we built them. We take into account the drainage flow, and that comes from the IMBA standards, and they kind of teach you how to drain the trails so that they basically don't erode. And then with the rock work that's done, I mean, the Roman roads have lasted to this day in Britain, and so that's the way we've been building them. And you see the rocks on top, you don't realize that they're probably 2 and 3 feet deep.
The rocks are 2 or 3 feet deep.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, yeah. And getting them up there, I mean, it's just people carrying them. So it's a tremendous amount of work. And like on a trail day, it's absolutely amazing to see these people.
Yeah. And so all this material is just carried in.
By hand, yeah.
Yeah. Henry did tell me about a trail. Is it the Pandora Trail? It's new trail that was done by helicopter.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
It's on the other side of the mountain, and it's actually been there for a long time, but they've developed it a bit more. It's instead of the tree, it's a bit wider and more free-flowing. Before it was, they call it single track, and it wasn't used very much. It was kind of a hidden trail.
Ah. Were you involved with that at all?
No.
In the design? No. Okay. Did you get to watch it at all?
Yeah, we watched the development of it. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the helicopter would lift material into place.
Yeah. And yeah.